Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, September the 29th, National Coffee Day. Just want to make everybody aware of that. So, Tim and Fred, and joining us now, Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm well, except I got a, my computer is very worried about me right now.
How's that?
AI, actually, on my computer. Because I was going through my news feed, right, on Twitter, as I often do, looking for stuff. And I came across a guy that was totally unhinged, TDS, you know.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, man, he had it bad. And he was holding up a Tylenol package.
Okay.
And he said, Dr. Trump, Dr. Orange Banana, whatever he called him. He was just so disparaging. And he said, I'll prove that Tylenol isn't. And he takes a handful of Tylenol and starts stuffing them in his mouth. I thought, well, this isn't good. So I needed to find. I looked, I counted. It was 7 pills. It looked like 10 or 15.
This wasn't phony. This was a
this is real.
Unhinged Trump hater?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah. Had one of those pink protest hat ons.
Oh, yeah. On. Okay.
And so I thought, well, how much do you have to take in order to do damage, to kill yourself? So I typed in, how many Tylenol do you have to take to overdose? And now my AI wants to send me to a suicide prevention site. It thinks I'm ready.
See, those computers, they're not as smart as they think they are.
Maybe not. But on the one hand, I was talking to JJ. He said it's good that they actually are, you know, are not giving out that kind of information. I didn't even cross my mind that it would mistake what I was asking.
Yeah, Saturday I was at a ball game, baseball game. One of my grandsons, my mini grandsons, who play mini baseball games. And so I had a little minor headache. Told my wife she went to the car. I said, get me a Tylenol while you're there. I said, I'm not pregnant. So I went ahead and took it.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so you better be careful with that AI search.
I know.
You got there.
Now I'm every commercial I get from now on my computer is going to be for suicide prevention. It's going to.
Oh my word.
I doomed myself to.
All right. What's your first story? Steve.
All right. Hey, I wanted to talk about the totalitarian state that we are almost under, that we are getting ready to be under. Fred pointed out a story to me this morning that I'm going to be doing for AFN. Talks about England, Britain. They're getting ID cards. And these are cards that they will have to carry around that will allow them to live basically civil life.
In Britain. Okay.
But
not the U.S.
No, but I came across a study from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This is a recent study. Has funded skin implants. These are microneedle patches that deliver permanent quantum dots to verify vaccine status. The authors of the Gates-funded study note that the quantum dot markings should persist for at least 5 years. The quantum dots can be detected with adaptive smartphones for use in real-world settings. Quantum dot implants would be used as biological vaccine passports, where their detection in human skin would be required to enter grocery stores, restaurants, gyms, and to travel.
They're really going to do this?
Well, they have proved it possible.
What do you call them? Quantum spots?
You call them, they're called quantum dots.
Only way I'm getting quantum dots
is
if it makes my college football team win. Other than that, Fred, I'm not getting quantum dots.
I see the Book of Revelation all over that. Especially getting down to the point where to get in a grocery store, you have to have these dots. I mean, this is...
Okay. I was setting up my joke there, and my joke fell flat.
I agree.
But my joke fell flat because Fred quickly spits to Bible prophecy, and I was talking about college football. So let's rewind this thing for a second, because I do want to talk on a more serious note about this. What Steve's describing Is that like the Bible talks about chip implants?
Where you
have to have something to buy, sell, or trade.
It like, looks very
mark,
similar.
Like,
to
mark of the beast.
Yeah,
mark of the beast, like something under the skin. Mm. So is this what we're talking about here?
It looks very similar to me. Now the Bible doesn't say
is that mandatory now?
No, it is not. It is not even. I don't even know that there's a plan to use them. But this is a study that shows that the technology can be effective.
And that's the big news, that we have arrived at the point where the technology is now in place that goes along with what the Bible describes as an antichrist who then controls who buys, who sells. And you get this mark. You have to have this mark. You have to worship the antichrist. You have to have this mark to buy and sell, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't have the mark, you don't get to eat. And, you know, for years and years, and you can understand it, when people read that portion of the book of Revelation, they would say, how can any government control?
This is all you had back then was branding for a couple thousand years.
How could you possibly do that? But what what Steve is referring to, we now have the technology. But this is why, on a more current news story, this is why the United States, the Trump administration, getting out of the World Health Organization. Because the World Health Organization, we talked with Michelle Bachmann and others. There's others, conservatives have said, the World Health Organization, because we were about to, under the Biden administration, I would say succumb to the dictates of the World Health Organization under the umbrella, if we have another COVID, we want everybody in the world to get the shot, to protect us. That was the reasoning. And so the United States, thankfully under the Trump administration, says, no, we're not going to have a world body dictate to the United States how we should handle a pandemic of sorts. And so I'm just happy. Stay away from this stuff.
Yeah, okay. So a couple things theologically, and Fred, you could tell me if you agree with this, but I've checked out with some people who should know. You will not be able to accidentally take the mark of the beast.
No.
So God forbid, if this ends up being the mark of the beast that Revelation talks about, and it's available before there is an antichrist, before this all comes out, and you don't know better and you get it, you haven't signed up for the mark of the beast.
No, you haven't.
The second thing is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been talking about this. You remember how they called him unhinged and that he's like some crazy man before he got to the Trump administration, and even now some are? He was talking about this kind of control in 2022. I have a speech that he gave, a little bit of it. Listen to cut last.
What we're seeing today is what I call turnkey totalitarianism. They are putting in place all of these technological mechanisms for control we've never seen before. It's been the ambition of every totalitarian state from the beginning of mankind to control every aspect of behavior, of conduct, of thought, and to obliterate dissent. None of them have been able to do it. They didn't have the technological capacity. Today, the mechanisms are being put in place that will make it so none of us can run and none of us can hide.
Wow.
It's hard to believe
that's RFK in 2022.
That's in 2022.
It's hard to believe that is a Kennedy. Stop and think about that.
Yeah.
Of course, the Kennedy of that, you know,
John F. Kennedy would be way too conservative.
Oh, yes.
He'd be a mainline Republican.
For the Democrat Party today. Yeah he was. But RFK.
Let me finish. Oh,
great. Well, RFK Jr. there, of course, he's Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services. Many in the media on the left wing side try to make him seem like he's cuckoo.
Yeah.
If you ever listen to him talk for any length of time, you may disagree with his observations or his statements, but he's not cuckoo.
No.
He is very thoughtful. He's very well educated. And a lot of the things that he says actually sound like common sense to me, mm-hmm. what he's talking about here. In other words, all the additives we put in foods,
yeah.
for examples, and also in search of what's led to the explosion of autism among children.
Yeah.
So I think, anyway, I listen to him when he makes statements like this.
He has three rules, what he calls three rules of totalitarianism, Robert F. Kennedy does, and they are as follows. Number one, any right that the government turns into a privilege and takes from you,
right,
it will never return. Number two, the government will abuse to its fullest extent that right that it takes or that it calls a privilege and takes from you. And number three, no one in the history of the world has ever complied their way out of totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm. Totalitarianism, you may say, well, what is that exactly? Well, it's like China.
Yeah.
It's really like even some Muslim countries like Saudi Arabia, for example. This is where basically a dictatorship that is the same as a, what'd you call it? What was the word we used right there?
Totalitarian
yeah. state. Mm-hmm. All right, next story, Steve.
All right, I'm going to put this on Fred because he didn't solve this problem before he left Canada.
Okay.
The county of Quebec or the province of Quebec, its youth protection services have placed a little girl in the custody of three gay men who are supposedly married all to each other.
Mm. Yeah.
And they have allowed this threesome to adopt a little girl.
Okay.
Well, that's just the thinking. This goes all the way back to the Supreme Court decision in Canada many, many, many years ago to legalize homosexual marriage. Mm-hmm. It was so sad. I remember when this happened because...
Prior to when the U.S. did?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And in full disclosure, my uncle, he's deceased now, was a pastor in the United Church of Canada. The United Church of Canada, when this was being presented to the Canadian Supreme Court, the United Church of Canada put a friend of the court brief in endorsing homosexual marriage, much as what we saw here in the United States, United Methodist Church,
with the mainline Protestant denominations,
Episcopal Church USA, right. All of those. So Canada just bought into this long, long time ago. So I'm saddened by your story, Steve,
right.
but not shocked. By
right.
It. Because once you open these doors, and we're seeing it here now, the whole transsexual movement and exposing kids to these awful things and having, trans and, pro-homosexual books and pro-trans books in our schools and all these sorts of things. Once you open that door under the guise, the umbrella of human rights, then nothing can stop it.
You might remember the debate that was going on in this country in the first term of Barack Obama, I think it was. Do you remember when he was asked at the Rick Warren summit, do you endorse homosexual marriage? He said, no. It's the Bible. I'm a Christian. The Bible says between a man and a woman. And then he evolved.
Yes.
And they said, all we want is just the same rights and recognitions that you have as heterosexual couples. That's all. Mm-hmm. We're not asking for anything else. It's just, we just want to be treated the same. But no. It's the same as the federal government. They're going to abuse whatever right that they're given to the maximum possible. So all that we've seen since then is a natural outcome of the...
Next story.
So you know that they just had the United Nations just had all the leaders of the world in to talk about President Trump gave a speech, Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech. Well, one of the presidents that decided to come to the United Nations was the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro.
Not Columbia University.
No.
Columbia, the country.
Columbia, the country in South America, not the university. So he came and he made a little pit stop on the way to the UN. He stopped at an anti-Trump, anti-ICE rally in New York City, picked up a bullhorn, and he advocated for what they're saying here is the encouraged insurrection against a duly elected government official, namely the president.
What? So you got the president of Colombia visiting New York to go to the United Nations, and he joins a rally against President Trump?
Yeah. And he's
saying what? What does he want to do?
It was an anti-ICE rally, an anti-authoritarian government rally. This is a leftist, so I don't know what he has a problem with authoritarianism. But the State Department says, oh, no, you can't do that. And they, on the spot, revoked his visa. Now, he left early. I don't know if he left early because of the revocation or he was going to leave anyway, but he is no longer welcome.
Well,
at the very least, not very smart.
Yeah.
You're visiting a country.
President Trump would probably call him low IQ.
Yeah, low IQ.
Yeah, low IQ guy.
You know, what's been happening here in the United States, with President Trump and his policies, and we're deporting hundreds of thousands of people who are in the country illegally. And I'm sure the president of Colombia has seen the news stories on TV there in Colombia. And you come up. That's just like, I'm going to go up and spit in the president's face.
Yeah.
And if he thought he could get away with it, it's, as I say, at the very least, not very smart.
Yeah.
Low IQ.
Low IQ.
Low IQ. That's what President Trump says, a low IQ person. Hey, we're going to get to the UFO story or not? Do you even know about this?
Oh, yeah. Well, we can.
Because I think it's time for a UFO story.
I think we do. Let me have to look it up because I know the general outline of it. Basically, someone has said that there's UFO bases under the sea.
It was on the SpongeBob show the other day. And I saw it on there. I thought we'd bring it up on this show. Okay, type it in. I read about it last night, and I thought it was a joke.
Right. But, I don't know why you would.
Well, so.
There it is.
Did you guys pull the story up yet?
I
sent it last night.
I got it. I got the MSN.
Because it was a United States congressman from Tennessee, a Republican, they were quoting in the article.
Tim Burchett.
Okay. Quoting him, do you want to read the first couple of paragraphs of that?
Yep. According to an American congressman, there may be 5 or 6 undersea bases off the U.S. coast where aliens could be hiding. According to Congressman Tim Burchett of Tennessee, alien entities are already residing on Earth's deep waters. Social media was rocked by the assertion made by the member of the House Oversight Committee that deals with UFOs. Burchett made the suggestion that intelligent alien entities or civilizations might have been lurking beneath the waters for millennia in a now viral video that was uploaded to X on September 17th. I do not have the video or the sound.
Congressman Tim
Burchett. Burchett.
You know, I don't know if I've ever met him, but where does he represent?
I'll look up.
Is it Tennessee?
Yeah, it's in Tennessee. I don't know if it's Chattanooga or Knoxville or Nashville. Anyway, so, all right, Fred, I'm going to throw it to you here. Congressman Burchett is saying I don't want to misquote him. Did you quote him right, Steve?
As accurate as MSN is, I quoted them.
I don't.
His congressional district is number 2, and it does include Knoxville.
Knoxville? Okay. Mm-hmm. Fred, you're smiling here, Fred. You don't believe in UFOs, Fred? What's wrong with you, man?
I don't believe in little green men coming from other planets.
Okay.
All right, let's get...
Okay. I don't think that's what he's suggesting, is he, Congressman Burchett?
But alien
he
is? Life.
Alien life?
He
okay,
calls
go
it
ahead.
Alien.
But we don't know if they're little green men. They may be...
Alien life.
They may be blue...
With gills.
Gills women, for all we know. But anyway, go ahead.
So, I don't believe in little green men from other planets. But I do believe there are demons. I believe, as you were saying earlier, you believe in Satan. Satan is real, and he has his demons. Is it possible that they reside in whatever the congressman is describing there at the bottom of the sea? I'm skeptical at that point. But sometimes we get into these stories and we laugh about it. You know, we've done the Area 51 stories many times and that sort of thing. We've had credible evidence given before congressional hearings by fighter pilots who say they see things flying in the air. And, you know, I don't doubt these are pilots are serious, bright people.
Yeah.
And they have seen these things. So I'm not dismissing alien vehicles, but I'd like to see a little bit more proof for where the congressman is trying to lead the folks.
I got to tell you, Congress is taking this issue seriously.
I know it is.
And 20 years ago, it would have been the biggest story ever to hit the news. Mm-hmm. We've discovered life, the possibility of life on other planets, intelligent life out. I mean, this would be the holy grail of all.
Oh.
But now we're not even talking about it.
Listen, there's sometimes if I were giving advice to the congressman.
Yes.
And he didn't ask me for advice. I'm sure he's a very smart guy. And I think he's a conservative. He's one of us on many of the issues. But there's sometimes you don't talk about things because that's what you're going to get stuck with for the rest of your career.
Yeah.
Because it just lends itself to comedic response, right?
Yeah.
You start talking about UFOs. I tell you what, I came up with a theme song for this committee, and I don't know if the congressman would approve of this, that are going to talk about alien camps under the sea. Am I right?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
That's what we're talking about, camping out there under the sea. Mm-hmm. I would see if you would consider this song their theme song.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, I would.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me
is an alien.
I'm trying to place that singer, too. Who is that?
I think that's Bobby Darin, isn't it?
That's who it was.
I almost saw a scene from Star Wars there.
You know? Well, I had kids. I had kids in the 90s. I was thinking Little Mermaid.
Well, that was Bobby Darin. I just told Brent to pull that up just right off the cuff because I like that song, but I think that would be a good theme song for the committee.
It might work.
All right, moving on
from
aliens living in camps out there under the sea. Have they ever threatened us, by the way, that you're aware of?
No, not that I'm aware of. They're minding their own business.
Okay.
I know. All right, I want to end with the geniuses in Portland, Oregon, the Antifa-type geniuses who are just livid that they are taking illegal immigrants off the sea, that ICE.
Off the sea.
Off the streets. And that ICE is rounding these people up, sometimes putting them on buses and shipping them out. And so there's some geniuses that saw an ICE bus and decided to firebomb it. So they literally, there's a picture of burn marks on this bus, but they didn't look close enough because it wasn't an ICE bus. It was the tour bus of Ice Cube, the rapper, who happened to be in Portland for a concert.
That's hysterical. I hope nobody was hurt.
No.
Were they hurt? Okay.
That's a big oops.
Poor Ice Cube, man. He might want to change his name.
Huh? Right?
I would change it to, maybe change it to Hot Tea or something like that. Hot T the Rapper, formerly known as
Ice Cube.
That's what Prince was. Well, that's formerly artist formerly known as Prince. So you need to maybe the artist formerly known as Ice Cube is now Hot T. Anyway, just a thought. Thank you, Steve.
You're my pleasure.
Fred, thank you.
All righty.
So you're not taking that stamp they got over there in Britain, are you, Fred?
For sure.
No. Mm-hmm. All right. My thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, Chris Woodward. Was on earlier, Steve Crampton. Was that all the guests we had?
Okay. Yes, sir.
We hope you have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.